chapter of the book of John. John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 30. Said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life, and he that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Then the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. In that 41st verse it says, The Jews then murmured at him. Now, there's a reason why they murmured at the Lord Jesus. And he gives that reason. The Jews murmured against him because he had said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now, this was a saying that should not have offended them. I don't know why this would have caused them to murmur. But the only thing that you could say here as to in reality why they would murmur at this saying was that they were blind as to who he really was. They were blind to his divine glory. You remember, we've said many times that the natural man can see everything in the Lord Jesus Christ that you and I can see, save his glory. They can't see his glory. They can see his goodness in regard to the performance of miracles, and they can see his benevolent attitudes and things of that nature that has to do with his character and with his person. They can readily see that. They can see the things in regard to his birth and to his life and to his going about doing good to every man that he come in contact with, healing the blind, healing the sick of palsies and crippling diseases and even raising the dead. Now, they can see some of those things and understand to some degree some of those things, but one thing that the natural man cannot see, that the believer can see. There's two categories of people in the world. There's the believer and the unbeliever. Now, these people here, it's evident by what they've said that they were not believers, they were unbelievers. They did not believe in the Lord Jesus. He said, "But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not." So the unbelievers then cannot see divine glory. They can't see the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the saying that offended them. "I am the bread that came down from heaven." Well, they were completely blind to the divine glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, some of these that murmured at the Lord Jesus had seen him grow up before their own eyes in the humble house or home of Joseph and Mary. And some perhaps had seen him working in the carpenter shop. Joseph was a carpenter, and the Lord Jesus Christ evidently took up his trade to a degree. That is, when he was a young man, it's evidenced in the scriptures that he did. And so they probably see him at work at the carpenter's bench. Yet, in light of all of this, you see, they refused to be holden to one so lowly as this man that they had seen grow up in front of their very eyes, this one that they had observed from time to time working at the bench in the carpenter shop. They would not be holden to one such as he, a lowly Nazarene. And the scriptures say that he was despised of men, that he was acquainted with grief, he was a man of sorrows, he was of a lowly stature, lowly background. Some said, "Can any good thing come out of this place where I was born?" Well, so you see, they refused, rejected, they said no, and they would not be holden to one so lowly as the Lord Jesus. They were far too self-satisfied and self-righteous to see any need for one to come down from heaven to them, much less come down to die in their stead. You see, they didn't feel that he would meet their need. They were self-righteous and self-satisfied. Their case, they thought, was not as desperate as some would indicate it to be. It wasn't that desperate that they would be holden to such a one as this son of Joseph and Mary that they had seen grow up before their own eyes. But the truth is, the truth as to the reason why they would not be holden to such a one as the Lord Jesus Christ is because they had no hunger for the bread which came down from heaven. That's the reason they would not believe on him, because they were not hungry. He said, "I am the bread of life." And they said, by their actions and by their murmurings, they said, "We're not hungry. We're not hungry. Our fathers gave, or our fathers were supplied from heaven with manna. Moses," he said, "done that." Let me read that again. "Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven." But they said, "We're not hungry. We're not hungry." So the reason why they murmured at the Lord Jesus Christ in reality was that they weren't hungry. He said, the Jews, in the 41st verse, "The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. We're not hungry." Well, this serves, I believe, to explain the common treatment which the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, still receives at the hands of men. Pride, the wicked, the wicked pride of the self-righteous heart is responsible for unbelief. Men despise and reject the Lord Jesus Christ because they feel no need to feed upon the husk of this world, which are fit food only for the swine of this world. Really, they have no appetite. No appetite for the bread which cometh down from heaven. These Jews murmured, and they said, "We're not hungry. We're not hungry. I'm the bread which comes down from which came down from heaven. I'm not hungry." That's actually the truth of why they responded to him this way. They weren't hungry. Well, verse 42 now it says, And they said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then he saith, I came down from heaven?" Now, this 42nd verse, this shows that they understood his words, "I am the bread which came down from heaven," as meaning this, as signifying that he was of divine origin. Now they understood that. They understood what he meant when he said, "I am the bread which came down from heaven." They understood that. That is, that he had existed, that he was a superhuman, that he had existed before he had appeared unto men. They understood what he's talking about there. This declaration meant that he personally existed in heaven before he ever appeared among men. John the Baptist testified this. John said, "He that cometh from above is above all." But these Jews that murmured at the Lord Jesus Christ were in total ignorance of his origin. They were in total ignorance of his personal existence before his appearance here upon earth. But they understood what he was talking about when he said, "I am the bread which comes down from heaven." They understood that he was saying to them, "I am the true bread. I came down from heaven." They understood that. But they didn't believe it. They understood it, but they didn't believe it. There's a lot of people understand some things of the Bible that they don't believe. A lot of people. In fact, the world is full of people that understand some things but don't believe it. I turned the radio on last night about 10 o'clock, 10:30, and I don't know where it was at. I know where I was at, but don't know where the station was. It was in the dark. I just turned the dial over, and I come to a religious broadcast, and it was a preacher interviewing students on the campus of some university. I don't know what university it was. It seems to me like he did mention something about Arizona. But anyhow, he stopped a young man there on the campus, and he asked him, he said, "Now, do you fear God?" And, he said, "No, not really." He said, "Do you have any religious training?" He said, "I was Roman Catholic." But he said, "I don't go to church anymore." He said, "It's boring." He said, "I don't get anything out of it, so I don't go." And he said, are you afraid of judgment?" And he said, "Not right now." He said, "Maybe one of these days, but I'm not afraid of judgment. Do you believe in hell?" Yeah. He said, "I believe in hell." He said, "I believe that when the man dies, his soul goes somewhere. His soul goes either to heaven or to hell." He said, "I believe that." And he said, there's no fear in your heart as to the judgment of God or to hell?" He said, "No, not right now." You see, that fella believed some things, or that fella understood some things in the Bible, but he didn't believe them. He understood. He understood judgment, he understood hell, and he understood heaven, but he didn't believe them. He understood that they were true, but he didn't believe them. If he believed them, something would have took place. if these Jews had really believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was that bread that come down from heaven, they would have come to him. They would have come to him, but they really didn't believe it. They understood what he was talking about. They understood that he said to them, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. I have divine origin. They understood that, but they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. A lot of people, you see, like that in our day. They said here in this 42nd verse, they supposed him to be the natural son of Joseph and Mary. His mother and father, they said here in this 42nd verse, his mother and father said they, we know Joseph and Mary. But they did not really know his father. No, they didn't know his father. His father was God. So they did not know his father, nor could they unless the Father would reveal himself unto them. Now that was true then, that's so now. No man can know the Father unless the Father reveals himself unto them. So they said, we know. They said, the only thing they knew about the Lord Jesus Christ was that he was the son of Joseph and Mary. They said, he's the natural son of Joseph and Mary, and that's all we know, and we don't believe anything else about him. Well, it's one thing to receive intellectually as a religious doctrine or dogma that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But it's another thing to know him as such for yourself, that he is the Son of God. The scriptures say, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. In other words, to know the Father, to know that the Lord Jesus Christ is really and absolutely of divine origin, and that he is the Son of God without spot and without blemish, that he did die in the sinner's stead, place, and room, to know that for oneself is a direct result of the operation of God himself. Only God himself can produce that in our hearts this morning. Flesh and blood cannot reveal this to my heart. So, the Lord Jesus Christ here was saying to them, well, let me read verse 43 again. And Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now here, the Lord says, by your murmuring against me, you make it evident that you have not come unto me, and that you are not disposed to come to me, and with your present self-righteousness, you will never come unto me. That's what he's saying in verse 44. You're murmuring. Okay? No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me drawing. He said, it's evidence by your murmuring that you've never come to me. You don't have the disposition to come now. And if you continue in your pride and wickedness of heart, you never will come unto me. See? Before you can come to me, he didn't say that here, but it's indicated throughout the Bible, but before you can come unto me, you must be converted and become as little children. Well, you see, and before that can take place, before being converted can take place, you must be a subject, Jesus said, of divine operation. Now, salvation is most exactly suited to the sinner's needs, but it is not at all suited to the natural inclination of the sinner. To the scriptures say in the book of 1 Corinthians, it says that The scriptures are spiritually discerned. They're spiritually discerned. And the natural man, because of the bent of his inclination, because of the bent of his nature, he cannot understand the scriptures. The scriptures are foolishness unto him. He can't understand them because of the corruptness and the depravity of his own nature. They're spiritually discerned. He can't understand them. So salvation, the salvation of God, is not exactly suited to man's natural inclinations. The gospel is too spiritual for the carnal mind. It's too humbling for his pride. It's too exacting for his rebellious will. It's too lofty for his darkened understanding. And it's too holy for his earthbound desires. Well, how can one who has such a high estimate of himself and his religious performances ever admit in his own heart before God that all of his deeds and religious performances are as filthy rags before God? How's he going to do that? I'm talking about these Jews here. I'm talking about these Jews, and these Jews, I'm sure, are representative, in a sense, of everyone that's outside of Christ this morning, and even represented us at one time. We murmured at Christ. Why? Why did they murmur at Christ? Because he said, I'm the bread that comes down. We're not hungry. We're not hungry. We don't desire anything to eat. We don't have any appetite. So we're not going to eat that bread. Well, that's the reason I say that how can one who has such a high estimate of himself and his religious performances admit that his righteousness is as filthy rags? You know, water will not flow uphill, nor will the natural man act contrary to his corrupt condition. Won't do. You see, the evil tree cannot bring forth good fruit. Depravity of man from the human side, or the human element of total depravity, is the only thing that will explain this morning the general rejection of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that will do. Why do the majority of men and women in God's world this morning, here in February, why do the majority of men who comprise God's world right now despise and reject the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, because man's a fallen creature. Because man loves sin and hates holiness. That's the reason why. Because the fall of man has affected every part of man. His will, his decisions, his actions, everything about him has been affected by the fall. He's a fallen creature. And therefore, he hates that which is good and cleaves to that which is evil. It's so bad that his condition is beyond repair. You can't patch him up. That's the problem with the religion of the 20th century, trying to patch the natural man up and make him a fit subject for God's approval. But you can't patch him up. He's beyond repair. He's fallen too far. He didn't fall just halfway. He didn't fall just two or three rungs down the ladder, but he fell all the way into the abyss of pollution and corruption and sin, and he's a fallen creature right now. And the evidence that he's a fallen, depraved creature is that he loves that which is evil and he hates that which is good. And the reason why the majority of the world's population say with one voice, we will not have this man to reign over us. We reject and we despise this man. The reason they say that is because they're depraved. They're depraved in heart. Every part of their being is depraved. In fact, man's will. Talk about man's will. Man's will has not escaped the general wreckage of his nature. Man fell, every part of his being was affected, including his will. just as his understanding is darkened, his heart is estranged from God, so is his will enslaved in sin, and he's a captive of the devil. That's where he's at. He's bound up. He's hidebound by the devil. Man's only hope is outside of himself. That's divine help. That's man's only hope is divine help. Now, if it be true that what I've said thus far, and it's true, bless God, this is true, what I've said about man's condition. I'm telling you why these Jews murmured against the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that they didn't understand what he said, but they didn't believe what he said. And they didn't believe what he said because every part of their faculty was affected by sin. They were depraved. From the soles of their feet to the crown of their head, there was no soundness in them, and they're depraved. And they need help. And they need divine help. Unless the source of that help is God and he comes where they are, they'll die in the ditch. They'll murmur at the Lord Jesus Christ, not only throughout this life, but in the life to come, they'll continue to murmur. In hell, they'll lift up their voice against the Lord Jesus Christ. When they're in hell, they're not going to change. Their attitude's not going to change. They're going to be sorry that they're there, but they're not going to be in love with God and in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Being in hell, they're going to hate him. And they'll murmur and despise and reject Jesus throughout the eons of eternity to come. It's how wicked, how bad they are. All right. If I'm all of this, if I'm so powerless that my whole being is depraved, and am helpless to reverse the tendency of my nature, what am I to do? Now, what am I to do? Listen closely. If you miss what I'm saying now, you missed everything thus far. What am I to do? If I'm as bad as the Scriptures say I am, if I'm as corrupt as the Scriptures say, if I'm as hopeless and helpless as the Scriptures say I am, that I cannot reverse the tendency of my nature. My nature is one that's like water, like gravity. It's like water going downhill. It cannot turn and come back uphill. It's got to go in that direction. That's the way my nature is. I have a fallen nature and it's going in that direction. It cannot reverse the flow, the tendency of the course. It can't do it. Well, then where does that leave me? It leaves me hopeless and helpless and powerless. Do anything about it. Is that right? All right, listen to this then. What should a man do who falls down and breaks his hip? What should he do? He can't get up. What should he do? Should he then lie there in his misery and perish? Not if he has any desire for relief, he won't. What will he do? He will cry for help. He will cry that someone will come and assist him. Will he not do that? That's easy to understand, isn't it? If a man falls and breaks his hip, what will he do? What will he do? Will he lie there in his misery, in his pain, and perish? Will he do that? Not if he wants to be delivered. Not if he wants some relief. Not if he wants to get out of that condition into another elevation. No, he'll cry for help. He'll cry for help. He'll lift up his voice and he'll appeal to someone for assistance. I read where not too long ago where a woman was trapped in a car. She went over the hill and she was trapped in that car. She couldn't get out and she yelled and she yelled and she yelled. And she'd done that for two or three days till she about lost her voice. She didn't have anything to eat. She was pinned in this wreckage, but she had a desire to get out of it. She could have remained silent and perished. But she desired to get out of that car, and she cried and she cried, and sure enough, someone come along and they heard her distant cry. they delivered her. I read out here in Ohio during this last blizzard that they had in the state of Ohio, where a fellow was run into some big high drifts in his tractor and trailer, and was in that cab, in the cab of his trailer for 6 days. And his brother went out looking for him and never would have found him, except he heard the tapping of an object against the cab. He finally heard it. Well, listen, should he lie there in his misery and perish? No, not if he has any desire for relief. He'll lift up his voice and he'll cry for help. Now, if these murmuring Jews, see what I'm saying? If these murmuring Jews had believed what Christ told them about their helplessness, this is what they would have done. If they'd have believed it, but they didn't believe it. Now listen to me. If the unsaved man, unsaved woman, unsaved boy, and unsaved girl, if they would only believe God Almighty when He says that they're lost, then they too would call for a deliverer. But they don't believe they're lost. You see? They don't believe it. They don't believe it. God says you're lost. If you're outside of Christ, God says you're lost. Ain't no way that you're going to believe that. Why will you not believe it? Because of the wicked pride in your heart. Wicked pride in your heart is responsible for unbelief. Unbelief will damn you. Unbelief will send you to hell. That's right. If a man had believed what God says about him in regard to his condition, he'd cry out for help. That's right. He'd cry if he really believed that he was lost before God and hopeless and helpless and the subject fitted for hell. I'll tell you, he'd cry out. He'd cry out. Now listen. If I cannot come to Jesus, that's what he says here in verse 44. He says, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up the last day. What's he saying here? You understand it as well as I can. No man, woman, boy or girl, child or anybody else, nobody of Adam's population can come to me. I'm life. I'm the source of life. I'm glory. I'm majesty. I'm splendor. I'm everything. No man can come to me. No man can come to me except Father which sent me draw him, unless the Father acts in his behalf and does something for him, nobody can come. Alrighty, if I cannot come to the Lord Jesus Christ except the Father draw me, then it's my responsibility to beg the Father to draw me. Is that right? That's my responsibility. I'm to beg, I'm to plead, I'm to cry out to God until I lose my voice. I'm to cry out to God till my heart breaks. My responsibility is to cry, Father, 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 draw me, draw me. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Speak to me, speak to me. That's our responsibility. So if you fall down on the ice, you're going to lay there and perish. Now, you're going to lay there and perish. Just lay there in your misery and your pain and lay right there. And when you die, you're going to blame somebody for not delivering you, for people coming by and didn't help you, didn't see you. And the reason they didn't is because they couldn't hear you. You're going to blame them. But all you had to do was to lift up your voice. That's what this thing's all about. You're to lift up your voice and cry out unto God. You remember that blind Bartimaeus? They said, shut him up. Shut him up. They said, the disciples said, well, Lord, he's making a nuisance out of himself. He's crying. Shut him up. Shut him up. He said, Jesus coming the way. And blind Bartimaeus said, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. He was blind. He needed help. Said the Lord was coming by. And he kept shouting. They tried to shut him up, but the more they tried to shut him up, the louder he shouted, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." The Lord heard him. Had mercy on him. Oh, brother. So helpless are we that with an unchanged heart and mind, we never will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hearts and minds have got to be changed. God's got to do it. Listen, this change, you remember this. This change, which is absolutely necessary and essential, is one which God alone can produce. Only God can produce the change that's essential and needful and necessary. We're fit subjects. Only God can do it. He can do it. It's not that he hadn't got the power. He's got the power to do it. And he's showing mercy to people. He saves people every day. Why don't you and I then cry out? Say, "Lord, if you're saving people, why couldn't you save me? I'm hopeless and helpless. I've got nothing to offer. I'm a sinner by nature and by choice. I'm corrupt. Oh, Lord, why? Speak to me that I might be saved. Draw me." Let me mention four things that's meant by divine drawing, and then I'll quit. Of course, this salvation that we're talking about is coming to Christ. And coming to Christ is being divinely drawn by God Himself. That's what He said. "Except no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him." Draw. I don't know the whole meaning of that word draw, but it certainly suggests a force beyond my description. Impel, maybe, would be the better word. Impel them to come. But of course, I know this, that God's not gonna make you eat bread if you're not hungry. He's not gonna make you eat if you're not willing to eat. You see what I'm talking about? He's the bread of life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the bread of life. And if a man flat out says, "I'm not hungry," God will not force that bread down. God will not force that bread down his mouth and say, "You've got to eat it." He will not do it. He's got to make him hungry. He's got to make him hungry. He's got to be hungry. Of course, that being hungry is of God. Well, listen. What is this drawing? Well, it's the power of the Holy Spirit overcoming the self-righteousness of the sinner and convicting him of his lost and hopeless condition before God. That's what it is. Secondly, it is the Holy Spirit awakening within the sinner a sense of his need. That's what it is. And thirdly, it's the power of the Holy Spirit overcoming the pride of the natural man so that he is ready to come to the Lord empty-handed as a beggar. That's what it is. And lastly, it's the Holy Spirit creating within him a hunger for the bread of life. That's what it is. That's the drawing. When you're hungry, when you and I are made hungry for the bread of life, then we'll eat. We'll eat of that bread. And he said, if you eat of that bread, said, you'll never hunger again. You'll never hunger. You eat of me, says, you'll never hunger. If we ever become hungry, it'll be because the Holy Spirit made us hungry. And if we're ever made hungry, we'll eat of the Lord Jesus. We'll come to him. And when we come to him, he said, all the Father giveth to me will come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will cast him out. If you'll come to me, I will cast you out. Whose fault is it that people go to hell? Is it his fault? It's their fault. Men go to hell, it'll be because they never cried out. It'll not be because there's not bread. There's bread enough. And some to spare. That's right. There's five loaves, two fishes, and that'll feed the 5,000. enough left over to take care of anybody else that's hungry. God help you. See what I'm talking about this morning, about these Jews. They murmur. Why did they murmur? They murmured because he said, I'm the bread which comes down from heaven. They said, we're not hungry. We're not hungry. We understand what you're talking about. We understand that you're saying that you're of divine origin, that you was in heaven once and now you're here. We understand what you say, but we just don't believe it. We understand it, but we don't believe it. And men are still saying, Bob, to this very day, we believe that you come down from heaven. Or, I mean, we understand that you was born of a virgin, you came down. But we don't believe what you said about us. You said we was lost. We don't believe that. We believe that we can patch this thing up and we'll make it without you. See? And so the whole world, listen, I know that some folks say, well, I wonder how come you think you know so much. Well, it's not that. Very little I know. But it's pleased God to reveal to my heart the message of the gospel. And I know that. I know the gospel. And I know that the majority of the peoples in this world despise and reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying that they don't believe something. They believe a lot of things about the Bible. But the pure, unadulterated gospel of the grace of God, they won't have it. They don't believe what God says about them. God says they're lost. If they believe that, they start crying when they pass. Now, if they believe they're lost and hopeless and helpless and no way out, no way, I guarantee you there'd be some activity in the heart. There'd be some response. There'd be some voices going towards heaven and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Oh, Lord, I don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But you can, if you will. Lord, you can save me, if you will. It's your will. Lord, have mercy. All right. We'll meet again this evening. Let's stand. Be dismissed. Lead us in a verse of an old hymn there, Pat. Wherefore cleansing blood.